Precious word this morning. Thank you that we can come together. We still have the freedom in America to carry Bibles, to come and worship you, sit at your feet. So Lord, may we have open hearts along with open Bibles. I pray that you would give us some life lessons here. How important it is to have family unity, to love one another, to be quick to forgive. And Lord, we so thank you that you give us physical examples of real people with spiritual truths that we can learn today. We love you, praise you, and thank you for everyone here this morning, those watching on YouTube, and pray that you, the Good Shepherd, would feed your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, got a lot of verses this morning, so I'll try to get it in within 3-4 hours, so hang in there. Just kidding, don't hit the door yet. This is what the first three verses say. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all this wealth. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable towards him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. Wow. You know, it's often been said, I forget who said it over the years, learned years ago, that God will not go against your will, but he can give you the will to go. That's your life circumstances. Our circumstances can often get us to move, can't they? And such is the case here this morning in chapter 31 with Jacob. Jacob is now going to head home. It was not by accident or by coincidence that here in verse 1 that Jacob overheard the conversation between Laban's sons. They were blaming Jacob for the material loss of their father, Laban. Even though Laban himself, back in chapter 30, verse 27, had admitted to Jacob that the Lord, Jacob's Lord, had blessed him and made him prosperous because of Jacob, because Jacob worked for him. Now, verse 2 tells us that even Laban's son's countenance had changed towards Jacob, and it was time to leave. Time to go. Time for him to return to the land of his family. As the Lord himself confirms here in verse 3, I'll read it again. The Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. I would imagine that those words just really brought comfort to Jacob. He'd been away for 20 long years. I'll expound more on that in a moment. What was intended to be just a few days. You remember the story if you were with us in the book of Genesis. Esau, Jacob's brother, hated him and wanted to murder him. And so his mother sent him away to her brother Laban to protect him from being killed. And she said to him, oh, it will only be a few days. It turned out to be 20 years, 20 long years. Yet the Lord was still with Jacob. And again, the lesson to me here as I'm looking at it this week is just a little bit of dissension. Sin, hatred in a person's heart can devastate a family. A family of believers. How sad. It still happens today. Just the other day, I heard of two families that are believers, and there's dissension going on in the midst of their family. You know what I usually do when I hear of dissension between Christian family members? I say, do you know what the Lord's Prayer says? Oh, yeah, I do. And then they begin to quote, Our Father, art in heaven, you know. And I say, do you know what the two following verses are that follow the Lord's Prayer? And all of a sudden they have this deer in the headlights look. Jesus said, if you forgive others, I will forgive you. If you do not forgive others, I will not forgive you. That's heavy. Then all of a sudden there's a silence in the room. But I share that in love. I don't mean to condemn anybody. But our time here on earth is short, isn't it? Especially with family and loved ones and kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. Our spouses are gifts from the Lord. But we allow these little sins to creep in. And as we know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, and it spreads big time. The Lord now tells Jacob to return, time to go home. 20 years, can you imagine? And he now makes preparation. Verse 4. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field, to his flock, and said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. If he, Laban, said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. And if he said thus, the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams leaped upon the flocks, which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes up now and see all the rams which leap upon the flocks are streaked, speckled, gray spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, which means house of God, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of the land, and return to the land of your family. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion of our inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all the riches which God has taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. So here we see Jacob is now going to make preparation. Oh, how his heart must have leaped almost out of his chest when he heard the good news that he could now return to his land and to his family. And so the first thing Jacob does is to call Rachel and Leah out into the field to inform them of the situation, of what God has just told him to do. Jacob reminds them, as I'm sure they had also noticed, how Laban's countenance had changed towards him. Oftentimes we can tell that, can't we? Even in family members, when they're angry at us, their countenance changes. Laban's sons and Laban's countenance had changed. Even though Jacob had served Laban with all of his might, never complained, went the second mile in every situation with his father-in-law, Laban had changed his wages 10 times. How sad. Showing that God was still in charge of the situation. Why? Because look what God did. You see, Laban gave Jacob all of the flock that were speckled and spotted. They were considered the cast-offs of the flocks. Why? Because in the temple you had to offer up offerings without spot or blemish. And so he said, hey, all the spotted and striped ones, they're yours, Jacob. Gee, how generous. But you see how God works? God caused all the speckled ones and spotted ones to multiply. And so what happened with Laban? His flock is now decreasing, and Jacob's is increasing. Why? Because God is in full control of every situation. Do you believe that? Yes. With all your heart? His timing is always perfect. He always takes full control of every situation. Even the 20 years that Jacob was away, God was there with him. Praise the Lord. When Jacob had first arrived, God had caused Laban to prosper. Chapter 30, verse 27 tells that. Even though Laban did not believe in God, he believed in a god, small g. He was an idolater, but he did not believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. One day I'm upstairs and I met the rabbi. He says, "You believe in a different God than I do." And I said, "No, I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." All of a sudden, there was a silence in the room. Gentile Joe believed in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's God, whose son is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the virgin-born Son of God that we talked about a couple of weeks ago in the real Christmas story. It wasn't ho, ho, ho. It was ho, 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 Hosanna. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so when Laban promised Jacob that his wages would be the speckled and streaked, the cast-offs, God, like I said, caused them to multiply incredibly. And he took away Laban's prosperity. God also spoke to Jacob in a dream on a couple of occasions. He spoke to him. God told Jacob that he had seen what Laban was doing to him. And again, I want to pause for a moment and encourage you. God sees and hears everything that is said about you. Praise the Lord. He knows everything that's going on in your situation today. I know all of us as believers go through times of testings and troubles, difficult times. But that's when we need to step back and know that God is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, and he knows exactly what you're going through. And it's the testing of your faith and my faith that produces perseverance in our lives. We need to persevere. We need to press on. I think it was Charles Spurgeon that said it was perseverance that got the snail to Noah's Ark. Sometimes I feel like a snail, believe me. When the enemy is trying to throw a snare all on me. We need to press on, don't we? Praise the Lord. God is in full control of everything. He sees everything. He knows everything. He also knows when deception is taking place. How sad it is. Look at the world today. You talk about deception. Deceitful people, lies, cheating. So what does God do? He says, "Arise to Jacob and return to the land of your family." Finally, his heart's leaping. And also Rachel and Leah had recognized the deception that was going on in their own father, even towards them. How sad. Towards his own kids. That's how deceptive this man was. They had no inheritance left. He squandered it all. They were considered strangers by him. Not only that, when it says he sold them, if you were here, you know the story. Jacob fell in love with Rachel. Just a beautiful romantic story. And how sad that on the wedding night, the bridal suite was dark, and the bride wore a veil and a covering. And Laban played the old switcheroo. And he put Leah in place of Rachel after Jacob had worked 7 years for her. Why? Because the deceiver wanted to get 7 more years out of Jacob, and so he promised if he would work 7 more years, he would give him Rachel as a wife. How sad. Major deceiver. And they recognized that now God had taken away all of Laban's riches. They confirmed to Jacob that he's doing the right thing. Praise the Lord. They're all on board, all three of them. Yes, he had 2 wives. This was before, of course, the law of Moses. And they had multiple marriages in those days. And so they were doing the right thing. Whatever God has said to you, do it. Even showing that they believed in God. And so leaving home was not difficult for Rachel and Leah either. And I'm sure they wanted to meet their in-laws that they had never met before, because their father was deceitful to them as well, just as he had been to Jacob, Hasad. And they wholeheartedly approve of Jacob's plan to return to his land, to his people, and to take his family and livestock and leave. And again, like I said, what a lesson this is for us here this morning. And you've heard me share many times about this incredible book called the Bible. We are looking at real people today. Rachel, Leah, Jacob. These aren't just a bunch of flannel board people for Sunday school. These are real life people. And we can learn from their lives. We can learn from their trials, tests, troubles, tribulations. We can glean from these things. And it breaks my heart that a lot of churches are throwing out the Old Testament today. Shame on them. My Bible tells me all Scripture is God-breathed. It's given by the inspiration of God, and we're not to tamper with it. I'm just the mailman. I love to deliver the mail. I don't need to add to it or take away. God's Word is incredible when it comes to life stories. And what a lesson this is for us here this morning. Number one, God sees everything. He's omnipresent. He hears everything. He knows everything that is going on. That should bring comfort to every one of us, especially as some of you this morning are going through trials and tests and troubles. He sees what's going on. He knows what's going on. And he's going to go with you every step of the way and see you all the way through that trial. Our trials, tests, and tribulations can only last a short time, or they can last a long time. And here it's 20 years. Sometimes we have these short tests and short trials, don't we? A day or a week or whatever, but for 20 years, 20 long years. But yet, God's timing is always perfect. God knew in advance that it was going to be 20 years, didn't he? God knows everything. He can't learn anything new. His timing is always perfect. His ways are always perfect. And there was a reason for allowing 20 years to pass. And God's going to see us all the way through, just as he does Jacob. Why? Because God loves you and me just as much as he loves everybody else. Praise the Lord. And God will see us all the way home. And folks, I got news for you. We are closer to home than we've ever been before in the history of the church. We are close. Look what's going on in Israel, the Middle East. She's surrounded by her enemies. Magog, Russia in the north, is getting ready to come south. Russia's hooking up with all of the nations around Israel. In the Jerusalem Post, you can Google it, go on their search on the Jerusalem Post, and Bibi Netanyahu is getting ready to rebuild the third temple. Hello? And who takes his place in the third temple? Antichrist, according to what the revelation of Jesus Christ says. We are so close, so close. The all-important thing, before the rapture, Paul, the apostle, teaches about purity in the believer. Just before he teaches on the harpazo, the catching away of the saints to the wedding supper of the Lamb, he admonishes the church there in Thessalonica to be pure and to be ready for the return of the Lord. Are you ready? Last week was kind of funny. Ryan's doing the announcements and somebody's horn went off in their car. When I come up, I said, what if that was the trumpet instead of the horn? Would you still be here? Never know. I also said, I'm not looking for the trump. I'm looking for the trumpet. That's what's going to save us. That's what's going to deliver us. God sees everything. His timing is perfect. He's going to see us all the way home. Verse 17, notice. When Jacob rose and set his sons and his wives on camels. Where'd he get the camels? Probably had them at a Camelot. Anyway, and he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions which he had gained, his acquired livestock which he had gained in Paddan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. and Jacob stole away unknown to Laban the Syrian, in that he did not tell him that he intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river and headed towards the mountains of Gilead. So here we find he gets ready, tells his wives, let's go, and he puts them on camels with the kids. He had 11 sons and one daughter at this particular time. He carries away, it says, all his livestock, all his possessions, all that he had. It's moving time. In the meantime, while Laban is away, Rachel steals his teraphim, is what the idols are. They were considered idols in those days. They were used to protect the home. Rachel's concern was that Laban would consult them and learn where they had gone. And Rachel, of course, had not consulted Jacob in this matter. So she thought that Laban would consult the idols would tell them where he went, and he would come and try to do harm to Jacob and his family. Verse 22. And Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled. Then he took his brethren with him and pursued him for 7 days. For a 7 days journey, and overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. But God, I love those two words, had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good or bad. Whoa. So Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mountains of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what have you done that you have stolen away unknown to me and carried away my daughters like captives, taken with the sword? Why did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and not tell me? For I might have sent you away with joy and songs and timbrel and harp, sure. And you did not allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Now you have done foolishly in so doing. It is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good or bad. And now you have surely gone, because you greatly long for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods? Small g, notice. Then Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, perhaps you would take your daughters from me by force. With whomever you find your gods, do not let them live in the presence of our brethren. Identify what I have of yours and take it with you. For Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. Whoa. Getting pretty heavy now. Laban now learns that Jacob had fled away. So he and his brethren pursue him now. Yet along the way, isn't it this interesting? Jacob's God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the universe, Elohim, along the way, God warns him, again proving that God has perfect control over everything. Either good or bad, God's got it. He warns Laban to be careful as to how he says to Jacob and neither speak to him good or bad. And so Laban overtakes Jacob. Verse 26, the second part of verse 26, it says, why have you carried away? What have you done that you've stolen away unknown to me and carried away my daughters like captives taken with the sword? Wow. And so immediately Laban tries to get the upper hand. That's what deceivers do when they're busted. They try to get the upper hand. He rebukes Jacob. We have the deceiver accusing Jacob of being a deceiver. That still goes on today, doesn't it? Deceivers accuse others of being deceivers, deceptive. Laban comes on strong. even saying that he had the power to do Jacob harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, be careful that you speak to Jacob, neither good or bad. He thought he had the power to take Jacob out, but God is in full control of every situation. Laban comes on strong, yet in all reality, Laban has no power to do harm to Jacob. The same holds true for you and I today. The enemy has no power over you. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in this world. Do you believe that? It's what God's word says. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. God is in control of every situation, and no one can harm you or touch you. That we need to remind ourselves of that. Because oftentimes, you know, we get in a situation, Lord, help, where are you? He's right there. Then we come to church and sing, he was there all the time. Hello? Why do we forget? God's there, always. What did he say? I will never, how often is never, leave you nor forsake you even to the end of the age. Why do we panic? Why do we flip out? Again, like I said, we find some wonderful lessons in the Old Testament, don't we? Jacob was a believer, but yet fear gripped him from a deceiver. Who is the deceiver? We know Satan is. He's a deceiver. He's a liar, murderer, thief, the Bible says. He comes on strong. And as we know, no one can touch Jacob. Laban had no power, as the Lord had warned Jacob that this was going to happen. What really angered Laban was that he also thought that Jacob, of all people, had stolen his idols. He blames Jacob because his idols are gone. And Jacob had no clue. And that's why Jacob said, whoever got him, kill him. Whoa, that's pretty heavy, isn't it? Verse 32. Whomever you find, with whomever you find your gods, don't let him live. He had no idea that the love of his life, Rachel, was the one who had stolen the teraphim. And for good reason, she thought that he wouldn't consult them and find where they were. So Jacob says, hey, go, whoever you find with your idols, don't let them live. And this shows by Laban's anger that his faith was in idols, not in the true and the living God. Again, idolatry is still prevalent today. You know, you drive down the road, people have these little statues on their dashboard. People pray to Mary. There's nowhere in the Bible that says to pray to Mary. There's one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ and him alone, period. There's people that have these altars and all these other things, forms of idolatry. It's so wonderful to be free, isn't it, to have a relationship rather than a religion. We don't have a religion. We have a personal relationship with the true and the living God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And I think it's so important to realize that and to recognize that. The Lord has this. He's in full control. And this shows by Laban's anger that his faith was in idols. Look at 33 to 35. And Laban went into Jacob's tent and Leah's tent and into two maids' tents. Wow, this is getting pretty intense now. But he did not find them. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household idols, put them in the camel's saddle and sat on them. And Laban searched all about the tent, but did not find them. And she said to her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of woman is with me. And he searched, but did not find the household idols. So here we see, she's now pretending to be on her monthly period. And she escapes the detection of her father. But in the meantime, while watching his devious father-in-law searching through all of the family possessions, Jacob now gets angry. Like, what are you doing, Laban? Going through all the tents accusing family members and even accusing me. So Jacob is now angry. There is righteous indignation, isn't there? There's a difference between anger, which is murder in our heart, or righteous indignation, standing up for what is true, and that is where Jacob is at. And so he now releases from his heart that which has been built up in his heart for 20 years now. He's going to let him have it. Verse 36. Then Jacob was angry, and he rebuked Laban. Go, Jacob. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued me? Although you have searched all my things, what part of your household things have you found? Set it here before my brethren and your brethren, that they may judge between both of us, between us both. These 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock. That which was torn by the beasts I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You required from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was in the day, the drought consumed me, in the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac has been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. Oh, man. Go, Jacob. It's now Jacob's turn to release his anger. And he did it, you know, properly. He says to him, what is my trespass? Lay it out here. Tell me, what is my trespass? What is my sin? You've searched all my things. What have you found? Nothing. Set it before us. For 20 years I've been with you. I bore the losses. How interesting is that? That he bore the losses of the flocks and didn't allow them to take away from Laban's flocks. In drought, in frost, he says, I was there. Verse 41 again. Thus I've been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your two daughters, 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Wow. Pretty sad. Verse 43. See, we're getting there. And Laban answered and said to Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and this flock is my flock. All that you see is mine. I laugh when I see that. What's one of the first words that a little sinner baby learns when you try to take their pacifier away? Mine. You can tell right off the bat they're little sinners. Mine. You know? This guy hadn't grown up yet. Mine. But what can I do this day to these my daughters or to their children whom they have borne? Of course, Laban continues speaking. Therefore, come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me. So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. You got to give Jacob credit. He had self-control. He didn't put that stone upside Laban's head. Then Jacob said to his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made a heap, and they ate there on the heap. Laban called it Yeger Sahadutha, but Jacob called it Galid. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me this day. Therefore, its name was called Galid. Also Mizpah, because he said, may the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent from one another. If you afflict my daughters, or if you take other wives besides my daughters, although no man is with you, see, God is my witness between you and me. Wow. Notice. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Here's the heap, and here's the pillar, which I have placed between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness that I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me for harm. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor." See, the God of Abraham was Jacob's God. The God of Nahor was an idolater, was Laban's God. And the God of their father judged between us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and called his brethren to eat bread. And they ate bread and stayed all night long on the mountain. And early in the morning, Laban arose and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned to his place. I find it interesting, after Jacob just lambasted Laban, that when Laban answers to Jacob's outburst in anger, he doesn't deny or refute any of Jacob's charges. No. Actually, what he does, he changes the subject. And again, that happens today, doesn't it, with a lot of deceivers. They confront them with something and they change the subject. He diverts their attention to his daughters and grandchildren. How he wouldn't do anything to them, speaking of Jacob. Again, Laban also says that Jacob's cattle came from his flock, which is a half-truth, but it was the Lord that blessed Laban's flocks because Jacob was there. Even after Jacob exposed all of Laban's deception and Laban realized that he was in the wrong, he continues to play dodgeball. Yeah. Get out of the way. He could not bring himself to repent. How sad. He was busted. All of the things that Jacob shared were true right out in the open. But yet he did not repent. He would not receive, he would not take responsibility for his guilt. Isn't it wonderful today that we as believers, born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, when we do wrong, we take responsibility for it. The Holy Spirit convicts us and shows us that we need to confess our sin and get right, whatever the situation might be. And the Bible says when we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we get on with our walk. And that's all Laban had to do, but yet he could not bring himself to repent. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is not involved in idolatry. The Holy Spirit leads us and guides us in all truth. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within our hearts and seals us for the day of redemption. And I thank God every day for the conviction of the Holy Spirit in my life when I do wrong. And I thank God that he also leads us and guides us in all truth. And we have the person of the Holy Spirit living within us that will lead us and guide us through every day. That's why even before you put your feet on the floor in the morning, pray, "Lord, cleanse me, fill me with your Spirit. Direct my path today through the power of your Holy Spirit." And that's what God wants to hear. My wife put a little plaque behind the mirror where I shave in the morning, and I can see it every morning. It says, "In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus." And it's just a reminder, and I rejoice. And guess what I'm singing when I get into the shower? "In the morning when I rise." Okay, I won't sing anymore. I don't want to drive anybody out of here. But the Bible only says make a joyful noise, right? We can all make a joyful noise. He actually proposes a covenant between himself and Jacob. Instead of taking responsibility and repenting and recognizing his guilt, what's he do? He says, "Hey, let's make a covenant." And they get this pile of rocks. And they agree with this covenant between him and Laban. And they take a stone, they make a pillar, and then it says a heap of stones, calling it, that the original language means heap of witness. And there they ate. Usually when you made a covenant in those days, you broke bread following it to seal it. And so Laban even took the initiative to propose the terms of the covenant. He's still playing dodgeball. And again, he takes the initiative. He makes the proposal, implying here, as we read just a moment ago, that Jacob was the one who could not be trusted. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You've heard me share many times, wouldn't it be great if when a person lied that their pants did catch on fire? There'd be this major blaze going on in Washington, D.C. right now, wouldn't there? I'll move on. Jacob must not, he says, afflict his daughters. Look at this guy. Jacob loved Rachel and Leah desperately. He loved them both. And the only one that was coming against them was their father, Laban. Sad. Jacob had always treated them both with love and kindness. He also says, Jacob must not take other wives. The only reason he had two was because of this deceiver. The only one I wanted in the first place, Rachel. Then he woke up on his honeymoon, and there's Leah. As we know, Jacob only wanted Rachel in the first place, but Laban had deceived Jacob on his wedding night. How sad. Now he mentions God. Not his, but Jacob's in verse 50. Notice what he says. If you afflict my daughters, or if you take other wives beside my daughters, although no man is with you, see, God is my witness between you and me. Crazy, isn't it, how unbelieving people will use God's name at particular times just to make a point. But he had no idea who the true and the living God was. Laban now sets boundaries. He knew that Jacob's God would bless him and prosper him, and that to prevent Jacob from returning for revenge, that neither of them would pass beyond the heap of stones. Look at this guy. He's protecting himself. That's why he wanted this covenant and this pillar of stones. Laban then concluded with his proposal. Verse 53. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, and the God of their father judge between us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Sad. In the name of Jacob's God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of Nahor was, again, Laban's idol. Last two verses, 54, 55. And Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and called his brethren to eat bread. They do a lot of eating in the Old Testament. And they ate bread and stayed all night on the mountain. And early in the morning, Laban arose and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned to his place. Wow. What must it have been like for Jacob offering up sacrifices that evening to the true and the living God, thanksgiving to God with his family, with his sons, with his daughter, and thanksgiving for God's final deliverance from Laban after 20 long years. And so that night, Jacob and his family break bread together, and I'm sure the praise and the thanksgiving to God went up like amazing. Early in the morning, verse 55 tells us, Laban returns, kisses his sons and daughters, blesses them, departs. I'm reading that and I'm thinking, that's the real blessing right there, departs. And he returns to his place. No blessing for Jacob. He didn't kiss Jacob in those days. They greeted one another with a kiss. They still do in the Middle East. No blessing for Jacob. Just the daughters and the grandkids. No apology for Jacob. And he departs. You know, the Bible never ever again from this point on mentions the name of Laban. Whew. No further mention of him anywhere in the whole Bible. Unfortunately, Laban is an example for us today of a worldly, covetous liar, deceiver, and one who knew about God but never put his faith and trust in God. How sad. And he had a light there for 20 years by the name of Jacob. And he saw his life. He was committed. He saw his marriage. He saw everything that was centered in God, the true and the living God. As for Laban, he continued in idolatry, selfishness, seeking material gain. It's okay to have possessions, but don't let them possess you. Give thanks for all that God has blessed you with. As you know, look over the years, if you've been on the planet any length of time, the things that we, the term is to die for when we were kids. Oh, for that bike or that scooter, whatever it was. Oh, man, where is it today? On Antique Roadshow. All the things we thought we needed to have, right? Where are they? But you know what? And us senior citizens can relate to this. The older that you get, the more content you find that you are in the provision that God gives you. My precious wife Tina and I, we birthdays or Christmas, whatever it might be, what can I get you? And we both go, we have everything. Really. And I'm not talking being wealthy and having a jet and all that other stuff, like successful pastors. But I'm talking about just one another. We give thanks to one another. We tell one another we love each other every day. We pray together every day. We love each other. And we are overly blessed with what God's given us. But unfortunately, as Americans, we're spoiled at times. When's the last time you thank God for a hot shower, soap, towel, roof over your head, pillow to put your head on? We have a lot to be thankful for. And like I said, the older you get, the more content you are with just what God has provided. And as we know, the best is yet to come. And we're not talking materialism. We're talking new bodies one day. Hallelujah, that's enough. That in itself would be enough. New home. No more tears, no more grief, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crime, no more. The list is endless, what we will never, ever, ever, ever have to face again. But in the meantime, we're headed home, like Jacob. In the meantime, we're headed to heaven. And along the way, we're going to have trials, tests, troubles, tribulations along the way. But as we've seen over the past couple of weeks, God's timing's perfect. God's ways are perfect. And God is in full control of everything. But how sad. And again, we can learn a lot, can't we, from the life of Laban. Don't even go there. And the warning to this day is a very sobering warning to all of us about being semi-religious. Are you born again? And I'm not, putting a guilt trip on anybody, but in John chapter 3, Jesus said, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We've all been born of the flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We need to repent of our sins, invite the Lord into our heart, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And all things become new, don't they? Praise God. We don't want to be religious. It's so wonderful to have a personal relationship. But for Laban, this is a warning that we've seen here this morning about semi-religious, about worshiping self, gratifying your own flesh. And that's what a lot of people are into today, gratifying their flesh. They're not satisfied. The flesh never says enough. You know that, don't you? Yeah, me, me, me. But what does God's word say? We're to deny ourself daily, pick up our cross, and follow him. Got 5 minutes to close. As we close, you're going, amen, hallelujah. As we close, there's another close here. It's 20 years of a long and difficult chapter in the life of Jacob. And look what we have learned thousands of years later through Jacob's life that still apply to us today. There's an end to every trial and test and trouble and tribulation. Like I said, some are short, some are longer. Jacob comes to the close of this chapter, this difficult chapter in his life, a chapter in which God was with him from beginning to end. And that's good to know as well, isn't it? God is with you from beginning to end. God was with Jacob from beginning to end. He'll never leave us. And guess what? when you're through with this chapter, we're going to begin a new one, a new chapter in all of our lives. To this day, life has difficult chapters, but that's why God gives us sections like this to show us, hold on, be patient, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and he will direct your path. He will see you through. Do you believe that? Amen. God is with us. That's exactly what the angel Gabriel told Joseph. They shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is with us. God will guide us. God will protect us. And God is going to see us all the way home. And yes, we will pass through life's difficulties triumphantly. You know, God never loses a battle. You can't show me one place where God has ever lost a battle. Never, ever, ever, and he never will. We are going to pass through this life triumphantly. As God builds character along the way, and sometimes it's the trials and tests and troubles and tribulations that build more character in our lives than the easy things, right? And what is it we usually say to one another? Hey, take it easy. But you know what? We grow more in the difficulties. There are times I call these sandpaper trials. We go through trials that sand off the rough edges in our lives. And we all have them. There are times we go through trials and tests, and that's what produces perseverance. Not only that, and we can all testify of this, right? When we go through trials, it strengthens our faith in the Lord because we can see his hand in every situation, especially when he sees us through. You want to see God in your life? Quit whining about your trials and start praising him. He's going to build character in your life through these. And I'll close with four words. God, our God, never fails. Never, ever, ever. As we close, wow, right on time. As we usually do, are you religious or are you related? If you're religious, you need to be related. How does that happen? I'm glad you asked. The Bible says very clearly that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so if God has spoken to you here this morning and you would like to pray to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and receive the greatest gift any human being could ever receive, I'd like you to stand quickly, and we just want to pray a simple prayer for you to receive the Lord, anybody, as we close. Y'all got it? Go get some sinners and bring them in here, will you? No, just kidding. Let's all stand one more time. Where's Ryan for the worship? We're going to close with a song, Ryan. Father, thank you for the life of Jacob, who will become Israel, and his sons will be the 12 tribes. We pray, Lord, for Israel, for the peace of Jerusalem. We thank you for your word, which is truth, and thank you for the life lessons that you've shared with us from your word here this morning. Help us to trust you with all of our hearts. Help us to press on. Help us to persevere. Help us to pass the test when we go through life's trials, tests, troubles, tribulations. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. I pray for just a special blessing upon every person here, Lord, that you would wrap your loving arms around them, especially those that are going through trials. You're the God of all comfort. Wrap your loving arms around them, and may they sense your peace. We love you, Lord, and thank you for this closing song. Thank you for this time of fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.